And rising, everyone, Natalie coming to lab, spirit and coffee, got my coffee here. Yum-o. This new kind of almond milk is legit good. Okay, so let's get started. I was going off on a rampage yesterday, and rightfully so, talking about the sacred feminine. And how the sacred feminine is sort of starting to speak to us, talk to us, give us some clue as to how to move forward, how to support one another, how to heal internally, how to, I would say, bridge the gap between the masculine and feminine. There's some hints happening here, and the universe is talking to us, not just me, but everybody. And if we heed the warning or the call, or we listen to it, we can then start to heal as a society, as a people. Part of what we talked about yesterday is the sexual piece of it, right? Which is something that I've been sort of looking at internally in myself, and what does it mean to me? A really important topic, because it is one of our primal things, is our sexual desires, wants, needs, and feelings. And so how do we look at that and support ourselves into really healing that part of ourselves? So a pretty powerful conversation. I think it's not an easy conversation for most people to have. Most people are not easily talking about, you know, sex and what it means to them, and even in their household, right? Or with their children, or with their partner, or even knowing internally what it means to you. Good morning, Kristen. So really understanding the sexual part of our internal world is critical. And it's really at the base and the root of our chakra system, right? It's that, again, primal part of us. Now, when we look at it from the esoteric perspective, it is the sacred feminine. The sacred feminine receives that sexual energy. The sacred feminine is the opening to that sexual energy, and it holds that space. So we hold the space of sexual energy, and it, on the shadow side of it, as I was talking about yesterday, when we start to look at the shadow side of the sexual piece of us, which has been hidden and latent. So we have several religions or whatnot that sort of suppress the sexual desires and energy within us, and they make us wrong for it. But the reality is it's there. You know, I don't know that dolphins, because dolphins also orgasm just as people. And I don't know that dolphins have a whole religion saying that they're wrong for actually having that built with inside them. It's just a part of their nature. It's what they are. They get pleasure out of it. So how do we start to have those conversations and dialogues to heal that sexual energy so that it's not showing up in the shadow form? Or that we are able to sort of put light on the shadow and then start to heal it. So when we're looking at society and we're looking at the shadow side of sexual energy, we have tons and tons and tons of men who are addicted to pornography. There are support clubs for this. There are whole conferences that I didn't even know about where men are trying to overcome this addiction. Why? Because there's this over-exaggerated fantasy about what sexual pleasure can be. And when it doesn't get played out that way, they have an issue trying to rectify that. Good morning, Kumar. And so that's the shadow side of that piece, right? Where the shadow side of the feminine energy from the esoteric perspective is orgies or, you know, bestiality. And it comes out in all kinds of weird, distorted ways. Okay, so good morning, Tessa. And so what I'm saying is we can learn to hone in and understand our own sexual energy and, good morning, Lele, our sexual desires. What does that mean for you? So it's looking at it and really understanding what it means, especially as a woman, as a man, when it comes to our sexual desires. Now, I'm talking about this because this part of us needs to be healed as a society. Somebody even asked, good morning, Ralph Williams, the Ralph Williams podcast. Somebody even asked yesterday about sex and power. It does sex equal power? And what I would say is that it could. And when we look at the mythology of it, we do see that there, and I don't know what other storylines have been, set forth or what other mythologies are available. But I do know that the mythology with Greek mythology, we talk about Zeus, and I talked about it yesterday, got really upset when one of the gods changed himself from a man to a woman and wanted to engage in sexual pleasure from a woman's perspective, not just a man's. And when Zeus asked, you know, who has the better desires, who experiences sex better, the god said, woman, right? And it is true. When we look at it from, you know, a woman in gender, and I'm talking about women in form, we are able to hold, again, multiple orgasms. It's part of the process. We can go and go and go, and our sexual stamina is higher. Well, Zeus didn't like that. He was pissed. That pissed him off. And he said, he damned and condemned the god. And perhaps I'll read that mythology for you guys eventually. And he was pissed. And the rise of patriarch came because of the power. Well, if sex equals power, and it could. And if we look back, sexually, they say it's the first form of a job, right? Was prostitution. So we see the shadow side. Good morning, Linga, is starting to arise. Good morning, Lone. Lone is Frank. I think that's what it says. And so we see that there's a rise of this, and we see that there's a big shadow being cast in the sexual arena. Things that are so distorted that it's almost disturbing for me at times to think about. But if we healed those parts of us and we were able to talk about our sexual pleasures and desires from a healthy place, we wouldn't have to see the shadow side so far, I don't want to say removed, right, from what it could be. And so we can look at it and say, we are continuing from yesterday. Yes, we are, because sex is a huge thing. Sex doesn't get talked about, and it's important that we talk about it. So I would say, how do we begin to heal our sexual desires? How do we understand what that means for us? Well, again, nobody's talking about it. I mean, they do, but if they do talk about it, it's like, it's the extreme. It's like one extremity to the other. It's like you're a sinner. You're going to burn in hell for having sex unless you're married, all the way to these bestiality, having weird, distorted kind of, I don't know what happening in the sexual world, right? There's all these things happening outside in the sexual world that we don't even know about. I don't know about. Maybe you guys know about it. I don't. But if we start to look in ourselves and heal our sexual desires and understand what it means for us, then we can start to heal those distortions. We also have some pretty disturbing stuff like children, right? The sex trafficking issue that we have. It's a distortion. There's this thought process. If we go back in time and we look, it was okay to have kids as sort of a sex slave. And we see it. Young boys, right? They would castrate them. They would keep them for their self and, you know, just this weird thing that was going on. And instead of looking at it and saying, how do we create a healthy sexual understanding of who we are? So how do we begin? Right? It's understanding who you are, what your desires are, what your needs are, and really honing in on that. My first time here. Okay. Seriously, she's great. Oh, thank you. This is my, this place is my jam. Yeah, thanks. Okay, let me see. How are you, Ralph? Okay, good. That is amazing. That's funny. Yeah, I'm talking about sex because I need to understand it just as I think the world does. And it's going to help us heal the sacred feminine, at least the shadow side of it. So looking at it, what are your sexual desires? How do you communicate it? And how do you talk about it? How do you begin to have the conversation? Well, if you're in a marriage, that's something that you guys should be talking about. Here's what happens in marriage. If you're not talking about your sexual relations, people tend to go outside their marriage to find what they need, right? To fulfill this desire. Is it right, wrong, good, or bad? I'm not going to talk about right, wrong, good, or bad. Talk about what is. What is that that's what happens. If someone has a higher sex drive in the relationship and they don't feel fulfilled by the individual that they're with, they're going to go outside. That's typically what human behavior does, right? There's this desire. It's like a craving or a sensation. So I'll give you an example with food, because food is the same thing, right? We can be one extreme in glutton and want to eat everything. And that's the same thing as wanting to have sex all day and being in lust. Okay, so yesterday, I mean, I couldn't satiate my chip. I wanted chips so bad. And I'm on this whole eating regimen, trying to stay, you know, good and healthy and all this stuff. And I gave in. I went and got chips and I said, I need to have it. I'm just going to have it. I'm going to satiate, right? And I did. That's human behavior. That is the mind. Sometimes it's feeble and sometimes we give in. When we're talking about sexual relations and partners, right? If someone has a high sex drive and the other one doesn't, they're looking for satiation, typically they're going to go outside the marriage. And then we see what happens is, you know, then we have what you call adultery, and the people are, you know, sleeping, and then it's a big issue. Rather than having the conversation with your person, which is where it should start. If you're in a relationship with someone, start with the conversation with your relationship. Okay. Let's see. I'm still confused about how to undo the horrible introduction I got to sex in my earlier years. So do you think talking about it more, going to stop sex trafficking? I say lay down, put up, and shut up. Okay, what is that wrong? Okay, I'm listening truly. Okay, no, it's okay, you guys. I understand. We do this, right? We do this thing where we joke about it because we've been made wrong for it. So it's kind of hard to get serious about it, and sometimes, sometimes it doesn't have to be so serious. But when it is, you know, it is when it's going to hurt a marriage, or it's going to break things up, or it's harming another, or people are doing these crazy acts of like sex trafficking. I think talking about it more, I don't know that it'll stop sex trafficking, but I think that it'll heal some of the perpetrators, and maybe allow for an opening or a healing to happen. I certainly wish that could stop. I wish I could stop all of the weirdness, but it's really starting with the conversation. So how do you sit down and have a conversation with someone you love, right? About sex. How do you? Let's say you're in a relationship. It's been a long time. Okay. And you don't really know how to talk about it because why? Because you're afraid, you're scared. You don't want anyone to feel bad, but it's important. This is where authenticity comes in. This is where courage comes in. This is where we're able to sit and talk. And I've had some people even tell me that they have been addicted to pornography and that they're trying to get over it and stuff like that. When people can talk about what's coming up for them, we do start to heal from it. It's just, we have to be able to talk about it in a safe space. Now, some people say, well, I can't really talk about this with my wife or my husband, or they're going to totally divorce me because, you know, whatever. So how do you start the conversation? You know, you've got to really understand who you are as an individual. You've got to take personal responsibility. And when you do, you're able to talk about it from a place of personal responsibility instead of, you know, sort of blaming and shaming other people. So it's really getting clear about who you are. What are your needs? What are your desires? Now, I'm not saying that you have to be all consuming, okay? But at least be aware. Be aware of what's coming up for you in terms of that. Okay, seriously, let's see what it says. You guys are going off here. I love it. Okay, let's see. Leah, are you Catholic? Let's see. That can be a really difficult place. So to leave it, stay in the sanctity, I can't even read, of marriage if you can't make that work, even after discussion. Plenty of people I know have been here and even me at times, yes, yes, Kristen, then is your problem. Okay, seriously. Great observation, Kristen. All kidding aside. Okay. So yes, it's hard. How do we deal with it? Right? Because on one spectrum, we have individuals who are say, you know, I believe in monogamy. I don't believe in someone going out and sleeping around. That's not okay. And that's it. I'll end the relationship, the marriage, whatever. And then you have other people who are like, you know, let's just have fun and be swingers and do whatever we're going to do. And they're totally okay with that. So you have all these different things, and it's hard when you have, you're already in the marriage and you haven't even discussed it, right? You haven't even had the discussion. And then we start to see all these weird distortions, even in religion too. They don't talk about it, right? I was raised Catholic, and I'll tell you what, they told me I ought to burn in hell. Right. You have to be married. You have to be or you're going to be a sinner. Right. Or whatever. And you're going to burn in hell and this and that and the other. So people go off getting married left and right just so that they can actually play into that sexual desire or pleasure, but end up with a partner who's not necessarily as maybe sexual as they are, vice versa. Right. And so then it becomes this issue, but people don't tend to talk about it prior to, right? So it's like, how do we have the conversation? Well, you can repent. Yeah. That is what they say in Catholic Church, correct? Yeah. Spirit exit. Yeah. Sometimes sexuality is an uncomfortable collateral in raising a family. I can only imagine. So I don't know what that would be like. I don't have children, and I don't have a husband. So marriage, not my experience in life, not my understanding, but I do know that it is important to a lot of individuals, and it's hard because how much another question would be, is there truly monogamy? Like, I don't know. Those are questions that I've been asking in terms of relationship as well, and trying to figure out if that's a possibility, which I hate to break the news to you, and this is an opinion. I don't know that exists, monogamy. I don't think it does, but perhaps you guys can steer me otherwise. And it's not to hurt or but I just don't see that we as humans tend to lean towards the opposite. When you look at history, when you look at the way individuals are, good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Betty. Sex, what's that? Betty. There's people who don't have sex, and that's good too. Whatever. It's all whatever's right for you, right? Linga, I really do hear you. Marriage takes work. Get your shoulder away from me. Okay, let's see. Let's see what you guys are saying. I want to read what you guys are saying. I know this is a crazy topic, right? And it's really hard for me to talk about as well, because I myself am trying to understand what it means for me. It is, but there's only so much time and energy available for everyone to care for self and family dependence. So tell me what you guys believe about monogamy. I was dedicated to my marriage, still ended. So there you go. Marriage ended. I don't know. It's a good thing. May I call Ralph Williams? You know what? Let's take a caller. Let's get you. I think Ralph, you've asked to be on here. Go ahead. Let's see what you got to say. I'm going to invite you into this one. Okay.
Hey, what's going on?
Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Has a story on sex. Okay. So Ralph, Linga says Ralph has quite a story on sex. So what do you have to, first of all, let me ask you this. Oh, okay. First of all, introduce yourself. Let's do that. Let's start there.
My name is Ralph William. I do a podcast, Ralph William Podcast. And yeah, that's it. I don't know what
else. Okay. Okay. And so what is your podcast about? Is it about anything we're talking about?
Not at the moment. I used to do a show called Sex Talk with Virgin Ears.
Oh, well, there you go. That's why you wanted to call in. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I wanted to call in to ask a question just to just to make sure I got the question right instead of putting it in text.
Okay, go ahead. What is it?
So the main question that I wanted to ask is the because we maybe not you specifically, but people like to use a lot of historical things when it comes to sex, and it seems like they use. Oh, well, because, you know, we were brought up to not be monogamous or whatever. Or we used to have children as slaves. You know that I'm not saying that that's what you're saying. But what I'm saying is that they use that. Like, my main question is there a line when it comes to sex that you know is right or wrong? Because if we're saying that this is something that's been done many years ago and people still practice it today, does that still give it the same leeway, you know, that it's right? You know, if you understand.
Okay. I do. And I never say anything is right, wrong, good, or bad here. Okay, so from this podcast perspective, right, it's based in spiritual alchemy. Spiritual alchemy being that we use everything that is available to us to transmute, transform into wholeness, into goodness, into transcendence of the soul. When we're talking about sex, there's a shadow side to it. Does it make it right, wrong, good, or bad? No, it just is. Now, from my own personal opinion, I don't think it's an excuse, but it's an opportunity to look at it and view it and see where we make mistakes so that we can fix them. There are consequences to either end of it. So the consequences being, if we think that, historically, we had, you know, these children and this and that and the other, there were consequences to that. And there were clues as to why nature went against that and said, nope, that's probably not the best way to do it. There should have been a lesson in it. But we as humans are so stupid. Sorry, I'm just going to put that out there, that we continue to repeat the same patterns to our own detriment. So there's no right, wrong, good or bad. Again, from a personal perspective, it's horrific. I don't agree with it at all. And I don't believe in excuses to say, oh, this was a past thing that happened, so it's okay now. It's not okay, in my personal opinion. From a spiritual alchemist perspective, it is a useful tool for us to transcend the soul. So when we look at sex, right, if we dissect it and we said, well, let's look at sex and let's look at the shadow part of sex. What is it telling us? What are we learning from it? How are we healing from that process? So that's really what it's about. How do we heal? How do we start to have these conversations so we can heal, so that we can open it up and we can say, yeah, that's probably not the best course of action. But there's things like tantric sex, right? Where tantric sex really is the opportunity for us to use that sexual energy and actually do something powerful with it, something that's meaningful, something that can give back to humanity. So go ahead.
Who first practiced or started tantric sex?
I would say Indians. Okay, I would say, go ahead.
So in terms of if it being Indian, uh-huh, and I'm thinking from their culture, it's okay to marry two young couples. So, but in our culture, at least here in the West, it seems like it's not right to have someone being 30, 40 years old and be married to someone who could be 12 or 14. Mm-hmm. So, and the same thing it goes with, there are some laws in the States where I don't know why there should be a law, but there is a law where the certain sexual acts are illegal. Mm-hmm. So like that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, how do you draw the line between, you know, what's really wrong and what's a cultural based thing, you know? That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. So here's the deal. I don't write the law. I write my own law. So I couldn't answer on behalf of the law as a society as a whole. It starts with our internal healing. Okay, so internally, let's start with the internal. When we start to look at ourselves, we have these energies inside of us. The energy of what we call the sacred feminine and sacred masculine. If either one of those is damaged or not fully recognizing itself or fully healed, we start to see a distortion in the illusion that we're viewing on the external world. Okay. I hope this is making sense. In other words, as we are distorted inside and not healing ourselves internally, we start to play out the illusion on the external world. So we can't heal society until we start healing ourselves. There's just no way. You can't sit there. I can't even sit here with this podcast and tell people, this is what's happening in society. Let's go heal it. No, I have to say, look, start with yourself. What is right and wrong internally? What is your moral ethics and codes? What is your code? What are your values, right? It starts with the individual. Now, if we look at history and we see all of these people who have transcended, what I say, transcend time, space, or have sort of overcome these internal desires and pleasures, right? When we see them, they all talk about the internal battle and struggle. So really what we think is an external battle or struggle is really internal. And we have to heal that first. So we could look at society and say what we're seeing is a distortion of our internal battle. Internally, we are broken. Internally, we are screwed up because we're not talking about it. We're not healing it. We're suppressing it. And then we're trying to play it out in the material world rather than actually allowing ourselves to heal from inside out. So we come up with the codes when you look at, okay, so let's go into tarot. When we start to look at the law, right? We're like, well, what's law? Law is something totally different. When we look at law, it is really us trying to create rights and wrongs based on our own observation of the world. But when we look at natural law doesn't do that. Natural law organically unfolds. And then we get in the way of it. So, I mean, it's deeper than just one answer. But I will say this. Look at yourself. Ask questions about yourself instead of society. Where do you stand sexually? What are some of the things internally that are going on, the conflicts inside of you when it comes to sex? Do you have any internal conflicts and battles? Are you communicating them? Are you seeking to understand them? Are you seeking to heal them? Or are you just focused on what everybody else is doing when you inside have a battle going on? So it's taking it from the external and pointing the finger internally. So I will ask you, you did have a sex show. Did you talk about the internal struggles and battles that we have on your show?
Well, not to this deep. It's more of a superficial show. But I haven't done it in a while. But we'll see.
Okay.
You can revamp it.
So there you go. We talk about it superficially. We don't get deep. That's the problem. We'll joke about it, we'll laugh about it, right? And someone will say, and I'm even going to say forgive me on my, because I'm on Facebook, whatever, we'll say vagina, right? Or we'll say penis, right? And people will laugh. We laugh. We can't even say those words without laughing. Most people are making jokes about it, right? Because it is superficial. That's what's happened. We don't talk about it on a deep level. And that's why we see this society culturally, and it expands and it just expands. And before you know it, we have some weird shit happening because people are trying to play out those suppressed, broken pieces of them internally. It's just like a serial killer. Serial killer fantasizes over the act of doing it before he actually does it, or she. They contemplate it and then they go and they act it out. So it's an internal thing. It's not an external thing. And we continue to do that. So when I come on here and I say, well, what's your sexual desires? What's going on with you? Where are you broken? Are you addicted to porn? Are you addicted? I mean, there's tons of different things going on. And people internally have this moral compass, especially if they have a conscience, that they'll know that it's not right. When someone's engaging in adultery or they're cheating on their partner, they know it's wrong, they can feel it. They know it. But why is it happening is the question. And I'll say it's probably because one person has a stronger desire for sex than the other. Partially. I don't want to say that's all of it, because that wouldn't be a true statement. But it's not, they're the satiation, right? So if we even looked at it from like the Buddhist perspective, right? The suffering is the extremity. So when we say they're suffering, well, what is the suffering? Well, the suffering is I can't satiate what I want. I can't satiate it. So I want more of it, and I want more of it, and I want more, 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 more. Before you know it, you're so far to one extreme that you don't know where the middle path is, right? So Buddhism talks about the middle path, which means that you're not going from one extreme to the other, but you're finding your center, your balance. So people are living in extremities at this point. Pornography is an extremity, and a lot of men are addicted to pornography. And now women are starting to as well. And what it's doing is it's giving this fantasy, unrealistic idea of what true sex is and what it can be used for. Okay, so do you have, what do you want to say, Ralph? Why don't you talk for a second?
No, I think I asked a question and you answered it eloquently. That's fine with me. But thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, well, you come on anytime, and you could, if you have any insight, do you have anything you want to say on your end? I mean, at all? Any insight?
I mean, from what you're saying, it is correct. Like, you need to look at yourself in order to, you need to fix your own house before you talk about all your neighbor's houses. So I get that point. I just try to find like what is the, because people like to take certain ideologies and think that it should be universal, and a lot of people might use that as an excuse to say that you know, oh, it's okay because, you know, I'm just a hurt soul. This is something that has been going on for so long. It's okay for me to do these certain things. And I don't know if that's the right way or the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, you have to figure it out for yourself.
Yep. And so, I wouldn't say it's right, wrong, good, or bad, but I would say that is a total backdoor and somebody not taking personal responsibility for their life. And probably someone who constantly points fingers rather than hones in and takes their life on fully. Because the language, if you listen to the language, well, that's been done before. And that doesn't mean it needs to be repeated. Just because something's done doesn't necessarily mean it was good. Doesn't mean it needs to be repeated. So that's why I say people focus on themselves, because that's really a cop-out, right? It's an excuse to go ahead and say, well, it's okay to do this. And it's like, okay, well, let's get deep. Let's talk about you. How do you feel? What was your story? And when you start pointing the finger back internally, people get really uncomfortable. Either they get uncomfortable or they start to cry. And then you get to the root of why they believe it's true rather than just putting the blame on society. Well, it's just always been that way. And does it mean it's the right way? Does it mean that it's the best way? So, yes, it's a cop out. I actually did have an individual who told me, oh, they've been doing that forever. I said, okay, and? Just because they've done it forever doesn't mean it's right. You know,
it's like going back to what you said earlier, like, you know, marriage and monogamy are supposed to be synonymous, right? So, but from your point of view, you don't think that as human beings, we're not supposed to be monogamous. So I guess that's your point of view. But that's society saying that that's how it should be. So then can we really blame other people that or higher ups who have extramarital affairs, or kings who had multiple wives? You know, like, is that? Go ahead.
Well, the only reason I say that I don't believe in monogamy is because I don't see it. I'm just speaking what I see is reality. Now, I'm not saying it's 100% reality, but when I look at the human species, this is why I say that, because I want to just give some context as to why I'm saying that. I'm not just saying that because I'm like, people aren't monogamous, and that's just the way it's always been. It's because when you look at human nature, I don't necessarily see that it's our nature, inherently our nature, but I could be wrong again. That doesn't make me 100% right. I'm just looking at what I see as the human existence and condition. Now we have, let's look at nature. If we go to nature, we have penguins, and penguins are monogamous. They are monogamous. They will search. They will not go with anybody else. They have one partner and they search for their partner, and they take turns, right? The man will go out and fish and come back and search for his one. And that's it. That's a species that's monogamous. And they are inherently monogamous. That's just the way they were built. But look at the human species. I don't know that we were built like that. I don't hear it. At least I don't know of it. I mean, people might be serial monogamists where they go from one relate, but is that really monogamy? To me, monogamy means you're with one person for your entire life and that's it. Not I'm with this one person for 5 years and then I go and get rid of that person and go with this person for 5 years. That's, to me, that's just serial monogamy. Is that really monogamy? So for me, it's more of an observation on the human species and the way we are inherently. I don't know that we were ever like that. Maybe we were. Maybe y'all can tell me something different. But when I view the world, I don't see that happening. I don't see us being penguins, right? I see us as cats or dogs. They sleep with whoever. I'm not saying we're cats and dogs, but I don't know where the monogamy in our species exists. Maybe it's there. I don't know. And maybe I'm wrong. But I don't know. What is your opinion? Tell me what you think.
I mean, if there's I want to break it down to like the Neanderthal times, like if we were all like fight or flight situations, I guess it would be monogamous because of what's that word, like for your best interest, I guess, because if you were with the strong man, or I don't know how it was back in the day, I'm just using the stereotype, if you were as a couple were with a strong man that was able to hunt and gather,
yeah,
he'd be monogamous because he would be the best provider for you and your offspring. You know, if you were in a cave or however the situation was back in the day. So, monogamous by convenience, I guess, is the best way to say it.
Okay, perhaps. But were they really monogamous, or did she maybe go out at night and meet up with her Sancho? Because maybe he was a good provider, but maybe the sex wasn't so great. I don't know.
But even back then, I guess you can say that even back then, they would know what good sex is, right?
So, you know what I mean? Like, maybe she was like waking up at 3 a.m. and sneaking off. We don't know. Like,
too much red meat. This guy doesn't know how to do it.
Or vice versa. Maybe he was, you know, with other people and she felt lonely, or who knows? I mean, I don't know that as a species, you know, and again, I could be wrong. I don't see it. I'm just being a realist, I think, on this one more than anything in what I see. Does it make it right, wrong, good, or bad? No, I'm just observing what is. The same with everything else. And again, from a spiritual alchemic practitioner. So what I try to do is leave my own judgments out of the podcast, right? Because I do have opinions. I'm human. I have my judgments. I have all of that that I look at and have to dissect. But when I'm opening up the space of spirit and coffee, it's a place where it's like there is no judgment. There's only observation of how do we look at it and how do we dissect it in order to use it for something meaningful in our life. So how does this become meaningful? How does sexual energy become meaningful for us? It can be. We don't talk about it, so we don't know how to use it. It's probably one of the most powerful things we can use to charge ourselves up, right? And I think within tantric sex is what it is, is to use that energy for motivation, right? To drive us forward, to help us to actually create and be creative. But we don't even use it that way anymore. It's become this weird, distorted thing. But if we learned how to use that energy for what I call the transmutation of the soul to help us to manifest our divine purpose, if we can utilize it in a way that harnesses energy, and then we use that energy for something beautiful, to create something beautiful in the world, you know, awesome. But right now, it's creating a bunch of weird nonsense. And it's keeping us... go ahead.
So do you think tantric sex or sex like that should be... Is it meaningful to spread to one person? Or do you think that's something that should be, you know, spread to many different people?
I think that the education...
Does it lose its meaning by that? That's what I'm saying.
I don't think so. No, I think that we... Okay, so it's kind of... Think about body instructions. Like, okay, and I'm going to give the Indians a shout out, man. I love India, and I'll be honest with you. Their texts, they have a system that is ancient, and it's legit, right? So when we're born into the world, they don't give you an instruction manual and say, here's how you work your body. Nobody does that. We don't have an instruction manual, but guess what? The Hindus do. They have a total manual. They have a manual for sex. They have a manual for eating vegan. They have a manual for healing the body. They have it all. So we don't get those instructions typically, especially in the Western world. Our instructions are, don't have sex before marriage, you'll burn in hell. Don't eat too much food and become a glutton, you'll burn in hell. Don't, you know, that's our instruction if you were raised Catholic. Everything leads to hell. So we can't do anything, right? Where there's not instructions of what we should eat. It's just don't eat that or don't do that. But there's no instruction on, okay, well, but then so then we feel like we're damned for life because we have sexual desire or we're hungry and we want to eat, and then we feel guilty for it. Where we look at this Hinduism, right, and they have these instructions that tell you, okay, if you do have this, this is how you utilize it. This is how you utilize your sexual energy so that you can then find a balance in your life. Right. Or here's how you eat properly so you can find a balance in your body. That way you're not craving weird shit, but you're balancing your body out. So, no, I think these instructions should be given to every single person on the planet. When they first come out of the womb, they should have these instructions, and we should be able to talk about them. But we don't. And we're weird. Humans are so weird. We are just the weirdest species, I swear. Sometimes we just gotta laugh at ourselves because we're like, what are we doing, right? We're just kind of this weird species that's like, you know, we have everything we need, but are we teaching it? No. Because why? Because let me just tell you, Ralph, if I gave you these instructions when you were born and you knew exactly who you were and how to maneuver your body and your sexual energy and all this, you would be a whole human being that can manifest anything in the world. And guess what? I can't control you that way. I can't control you. You're liberated. You're free. You know who you are. But I can't control you. You can't be my slave. So what benefit does it have for me to teach you this stuff? No, instead, I'm going to take it away. I'm going to burn all the texts. I'm going to destroy all the evidence so that you know how to get there. And you're going to be so far removed. And then I'm going to say that it's evil and that it's bad. And that if you do it, you're going to get hung or burned at the stake or nailed to a cross. And that's what we've done. Because why? Because we want to control things. So I think everybody should have these instructions. Everybody. The whole world. Right? So it makes us wrong. And we have to learn how to come back to it. We have to learn
information out there. I'm sure there's everything at your disposal to learn from.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And I hope we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you. I totally appreciate it. And thank you for joining me. I mean, it's just always a pleasure to have somebody else come on and talk it out, right? It's working. Play to heal. Let's see what this says. Say that again, Nat. Oh, I'm reading all of what everybody says. Thanks, Ralph, so much. Something about the back door, not taking responsibility. What's your statement without the case or the individual? Okay. So let's see, our monogamous too, but a lot of animals, in particularly birds, mate once per year for genetic strength. That's cool. Let's see, on the side, asking Ralph about relationships is like asking a deaf person to speak to you. Oh, you guys are funny. Have to be happy with yourself. Catholic too. Let's see, I'm reading all of your comments here. I don't think Indians love Indians. They live pretty bad. Went to college for a degree in communications, yet still can't walk up to a girl and ask her for her number. Aw. Not how to use the bathroom. Mahabharata, very single human emotion, yeah, known to man. Heaven and hell is just made up construct. Yes, Alpha Mike, thanks. Indian also have 500 different gods. Yes, they do. Probably more. It's called parenting. Okay. I like spirit and coffee, but I can't listen to Ralph after 23 years. He just spits out bullshit. Oh, okay. What do you believe in? Laughing my ass out. Okay, what do I believe in? I don't know if you're still here, CT. So I do have a belief in a higher creator universe, whatever you want to call it. Obviously, I can't say that I created all this. I wouldn't take responsibility for creating this entire planet. So something did. Something manifested us. So my belief is that power is giving before it takes. Also believe in spiritual alchemy. And it's not really a belief system. Spiritual alchemy is a process. Okay, not a religion, it's a process. And it's a process that helps us to remember who we are and bring us into our divine self. Now, spiritual alchemy is every topic under the sun, to be honest with you. That's what I love about it, because we use everything. We don't leave anything out. So it's not a one-sided thing where it's like, oh, you just got to be happy. That's not true. We're not always happy. That's bullshit. Someone says, I was happy my whole life. They're lying. They had some kind of trauma, some kind of something happened to them. We live in this goulash of suffering, but we have the ability to overcome it and transcend it. And so that's really what this is about. How do we overcome these shadow pieces of us, or the uncomfortable pieces? And then also, how do we celebrate the light, the good stuff? So what I believe, and I could go on for days, of course, because spiritual alchemy, man, it's huge. Just go look it up. And every chemistry arrived or derived from spiritual alchemy. And every single guru that you could think of, every enlightened being, whatever you want to call it, prophet, teacher, was an alchemist, spiritual alchemist. So pretty powerful stuff, and trying to revive spiritual alchemy into the world, right? And teach people. And so there's nothing, hello, Tulin. So there's nothing right, wrong, good, or bad about anything. Everybody's welcome here. I've had some pretty amazing, weird characters show up. I've had the shadow show up. I've had trolls show up. I've had everything. And I've even had trolls come on the show. And at the end of it, they were like, probably crying, because at the end of the day, internally, we're just trying to heal ourselves, right? And that's it. We truly want to connect and belong. And everybody belongs here, even the shadow people, which is not too often. People don't accept them. So, you know, they're always shunned off or pushed away. But when we can love each other fully, both the dark and the light, we can heal. And let me tell you what, going to those other places the astronomical places, the places, the different dimensions of our being is pretty badass. But we can get there until we actually heal our internal battles, right? And then we start to see that this tiny little minute world that we live in is just like an inkling, a grain of sand in this vast mind that we have, or this vast connection to the interstellar or the astral or whatever you want to call it, that there's so much. Then we start to look at our problems and go, what were we, why were we pissed about, you know, dropping my coffee on myself this morning for, when there's like this whole other 5 billion dimensions I can travel to? Like, I'm interstellar. Coffee ain't going to bring me down. Okay. Coffee on my shirt. I mean, I love coffee. Obviously, spirit and coffee. Okay. Kristen, can you talk about shit? You got, let's see, grow up. Catholic guilt, spirit, and interstellar. Yeah. Yin yang. Yes. Yes, it truly was a traumatic. Yeah. Okay, so there you go. All of us have been fed shit for sure. And people love, obviously, this sex thing needs to be talked about, and really hits a string and a chord for people. And continue to talk, because I'm really looking at myself and trying to understand what that means for me as well. So on the journey too. So again, another thing that I will have you guys know is that I'm a practitioner of the work. I don't just talk about it. See, I tell people, be very careful about who you follow, because most people will talk but not walk. And an alchemist, a practitioner of spiritual alchemy, is a walker and a talker sometimes. And so I apply concepts to my life, and I practice, and I look at, and I dissect it, and I go and I practice the work. And then I give back what I find. But what I find is not the ultimate truth, because no one can hold the ultimate truth. We just hold our truth, our authentic truth. So I speak my truth, but I tell you that you have your ability to speak your truth. And you have to go find it, though. So you've got to be the practitioner. That's why it's practical use of esoteric wisdom, because there's a practice there. You have to go out and practice it for yourself. So I'm in the practice of understanding, what does sexual energy mean, and how do you work with it, and how do you utilize it? And maybe I'll have a course on it. Train me, master. That's funny. Yeah, I might show up as a whole dominatrix. I don't know if you want that. Oh my God, our perspective of truth. Yes, grasshopper. I don't know if I'll be one of those grasshopper people. I might get out a chain whip, which is what I actually do have a chain whip, because I'm in kung fu. Anywho, that's another story for another day. But we're going to continue talking about this sex stuff. And I'm going to continue until I can figure out. And then, yeah, maybe a course on it, I think. She's a live one. That's funny. I love you guys are too much. But I love you so much. Have a great day. I could tell that this is a really important topic for people. And I want to continue. And, you know, y'all are welcome to come in. I usually don't let people call in, but I think I might on this one, just because I have to get perspective from other people, right? Sometimes an hour is too long. I used to go on for hours, actually, when I first started my podcast, and then my friend said I go too long, I need to shut up, because I have a lot of words to say. And then I said okay, and so I started keeping it to 30 minutes, but yeah. So and then I got to, there's a lot in this. There is a lot in this. So tomorrow, we're going to continue our sex talk. And we're going to get real, and we're going to laugh, and it's going to be awesome, right? And people, if they want to call in, y'all can call in, and we can dissect your sex life. Why, let's do that. No, I'm just kidding. Don't let it be about me. Let's talk about you guys. What's going on in your sex world? I'm just kidding. All right. I am going to go. You guys have the most magical day ever. You know, dig deep, go look at tantric sex, go read up on it and see what that does for you. See if it gives you some insight. And see how that feels. Okay. So I love you guys. Have a great day and I will be seeing you all tomorrow. Bye-bye.